Man, I love the Christmas season. Love the Christmas story. It's a big time story, isn't it? Huh? About a baby being born to a virgin, and he come into the world born in a lowly manger in a middle of nowhere, grew up, defeated sin, defeated death, rose from the grave, and gave humanity life. And it's amazing because we're still celebrating that event many, many years later. How big time of an event is that? Come on. I hope they're still celebrating my birth in 2,000 years. It'd be awesome, wouldn't it? So just think about that big time event. Still people celebrating that around the world. But I oftentimes think of the small steps of faith that it took to make that big time event occur. And that's what I want to talk about today. The small steps of faith you need to take in your life, I need to take in my life in order to see big time things happen, like happen through the birth of Christ. Because I do believe the same spirit that lifted Jesus from the grave, the Bible says, is available to you and me. And the Bible says that we are people of faith. We believe in what has not yet been seen. We put our hope in things that have not yet happened, and we act accordingly towards those things that we believe. And I want to talk today about taking small steps of faith and seeing big time things happen in our life. Because I know that some of you are praying for some big time things. You're praying for maybe some big time things in your family environment. You're praying for some big time things to happen in your kids' life. You're praying for some big time things to happen in your health conditions. Oftentimes we pray for God to do big time things, but we must understand how God is operating, because God wants to build our faith along the journey so we can always put our trust and our hope in who He is. So today we're going to look at the Christmas story in our Bible, and we're going to learn a little bit about taking these small steps of faith in order to see God do the amazing things in our life that he wants to do. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, faith is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. Look at your neighbor and say, you got some confidence today? You got some confidence? Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Say, what you're hoping for? Ask them what you're hoping for. What are you hoping for? Ask them. Go ahead and ask them. It's assurance about things we cannot see. The Bible goes on to say in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, it is impossible to please the Most High God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him, who look for Him with their heart, who look for their Most High in all circumstances, looks through for God whether they're in a valley or on a mountaintop. See, faith doesn't just operate in the good times. Faith operates in the bad times. But faith doesn't just operate in the bad times. Faith also operates in the good times. And we can please God with our life as long as we have our eyes set on Him and we put faith in that He exists. You know, what's so amazing about this birth of Christ in a manger is it's God letting us in on knowing that he does exist and that he does care for humanity so much that he become like us in form. He became a human, but he lived on this earth in such a way that he was sinless, and he got through all challenges and all circumstances because he knew who he was and he knew where he was going. He had faith. In other words, Christ had faith in the journey he lived here on earth. Though he was God, and he was 100% God, and he was in the flesh, he was also 100% human, and he made his dwelling among us so we could experience God in a powerful way and know that God exists. So when we look at the face of Christ and we look at the life of Christ, we can understand who our great God, who our Creator is, if we would so dare believe and trust in who he is. So today, I wanna look at the Christmas story and all the people that surround what we see in people's front yard, that manger scene. And I wanna look at their life because their life has a lot to teach us about taking small steps of faith in order to see God do big time things in our life. I mean, just think with me for just a moment. The wise men. Do you know that the wise men had to take steps of faith before they ever saw baby Jesus? They had to take steps of faith from a distant land to get to the foot of that manger, so to say. They had to walk for nearly 2 years by faith, trusting a star that was guiding them to this baby in a manger. 2 years. Walk by faith for 2 years before they ever saw baby Jesus. They took steps of faith. See, we're all challenged in life. And that's the first step we have to understand that we've got to face. We have to face the challenge if we're really gonna see God do big time things in our life. The enemy puts things in our life oftentimes, or the things that God puts in our life, the enemy makes us see those things as harm where God can use them for good. Come on. And some things come in our life that appear to be challenges that's gonna forever shut us down from experiencing what God has already said, but God will use those moments to challenge us to keep moving forward if we would so dare trust in who he is. See, the enemy wants you to stay where you are in the circumstance. He wants you to believe that the circumstance is all they'll ever be. You might as well quit. You might as well lay down. You might as well die. You might as well not do anything else in life to progress. Just stay like you are. You're broken. You're beat. It's over. But see, God is... He'll take those moments, and if we'll just keep trusting him, he'll take those broken moments and he'll begin to build our faith so that we can go on a journey. See, oftentimes God challenges us in life so he can build our faith, but the enemy wants some of the challenges to break us down and wants us to believe that God is against us and God is not for us. But I want you to know today that God is for you. He is not against you. Come on. And again, the wise men were challenged. They had to walk by faith. Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, I want you to listen what the angel that came to them at the birth of Christ says to every one of them. It's simply amazing to me. To Mary, the angel says in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." To Joseph in Matthew 1, verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." To the shepherds that were out in the fields the night Christ was born. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. The night That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding the flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. The Bible says they were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." See, when we are challenged by God to move towards something greater, oftentimes our first response is fear. And what God would say to you today through the power of the Holy Spirit is don't fear what I'm leading you to, because I want to do great things in you and I want to do great things through you, but your natural human response is to always be afraid of what God wants to do through you, because you understand something. You're not capable of doing the big things on your own that God desires to do through you. And because you can't achieve it on your own, you begin to become fearful of God and saying, "Oh no, I'll just stay right here. I won't take any steps towards a greatness. I won't begin to see you do more powerful things. God, I'm comfortable right here." What I need all of us to understand today is God is about getting you uncomfortable. Because God desires for us to get out of the spot we're in and move forward to greater things. Though our body is dying, our spirit is being renewed over and over again, and we're believing in our soul that we can do greater, because we're not believing, you know, what just our physical body is saying to us. We're believing the destiny and a future and a hope that God is calling us towards. So we keep getting back up and moving towards that great hope known as Christ Jesus. Every one of these people were challenged in a great way. Mary was a teenage girl. You know, and God comes to her and says, "You found favor. Guess what? You're going to have this baby, and nobody's going to really understand where this baby come from. You're going to become pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit." Just think how crazy that is. Joseph, in this particular day, the angel comes to say, "Take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid. You know, people are going to think all kinds of stuff, but Joseph, don't be afraid. This baby is going to save his people from their sins." You know, and I just wonder if God came to you and called you and said, "Look, I need you to step towards this. I need you to step towards helping build this, getting the good news of Christ out." Would you be afraid and say, "God, I just don't have the means. I don't have the ability. What will people think? If I step into doing great things for your name's sake." I mean, God, you know, everybody in town knows who I am. Everybody knows what I've done. People know all kinds of things about me. And I'm fearful of what they think instead of what you said. I want you to know God is always trying to elevate you. Come on. He's trying to grow you. He wants you to have a humble heart towards him and understand all power and all purpose comes from him. You don't achieve it on your own, but when you have a humility towards God, you can have confidence in what he's called you to do. And God's always gonna challenge you to step up and do anything. Who would have ever thought, you know, when I was going through grade school and college and all of these kind of things that you know, I would be doing what I'm doing today, because, you know, again, I was the guy that if you went to speech class, I didn't talk. I was the guy like the things like last night, these big events. I love it because people come to know who Jesus is, but I'm kind of the shy guy or the more reserved guy or the more introverted guy, and those things wear me out. Again, because it's just my flesh isn't wired towards certain things. But God said, "I need you to make my name great, and here's how I'm going to use you." So I have to step into it and be who he's called me to be. Understand, you know, again, being a pastor of a local church is very uncomfortable for me. Very uncomfortable. I would actually, you know, rather just kind of be out and doing something on my own, using my hands to build something. Or do, because I'm wired more that way. But God says, no, 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 I need you to get in my word. I need you to be a part of what I've called you to do. And again, I need you to step into it. And I would argue the fact, God is probably calling you to do something uncomfortable. To move away from what your flesh desires and move towards what he desires for you to be. And oftentimes our flesh wants to do the opposite of our calling. And we have to understand that because God calls us to step in and change the world with the good news of this baby who was born in a manger, lived a perfect life, grew up, went to a cross to save people from their sin. Your sole purpose in coming to Christ is to know him and to make him known. Step towards him. He'll change your life. He'll change your destiny. He'll change your heart. And it doesn't mean you don't want to submit to your flesh often. But what it does mean is you will have the power to get over what your flesh is teaching you to do. And you can face the challenge and step past these barriers that your own mind and your own skin puts up and says, no, you can't ever do it. The angel came to Mary, came to Joseph, came to the shepherds and said to every one of them, don't be afraid. Because what God is getting ready to challenge you to do, it's gonna create fear in your flesh. It's bigger than you, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than us. And I really do believe that God is calling us to reach out to this community. I think God planted you here. You might've just got here this year. You might've just got here and COVID hit. And you might have got here and thought that God put you here so you could retire and enjoy the beach. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying the beach, but I believe God sit your rear end here and my rear end here simply for one purpose, and it's to make the good news made known around the world. And if you would step into the challenge, you would see the empowerment of God on your life like never before. Amen. It's amazing, isn't it? And again, it's a challenge because most of us just want to relax and get comfortable. But I'm learning on my journey that God oftentimes puts me in uncomfortable situations to build my faith. You get that? Not just your faith, but to build my faith. Is your faith still growing? Unless there is resistance put against your muscle will collapse and die. There has to be resistance continually put against your faith in God for it to become strong and grow and overcome and do great and mighty things. It's just facing the challenge. The first faith challenge might be, you know, or the first physical challenge might be in your life, hey, do 2 push-ups. And maybe the physical challenge is, I can't do 2 push-ups. And then the physical trainer would challenge you and say, oh, you can do 2 push-ups. I can't do 2 push-ups. Well, do a girl push-up. That's for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know what a girl push-up is, right? And it's, you get on your knees. Okay. Well, I'm here to show you something. God, I can't do that. Well, God say, do a girl push-up. And then what'll happen is eventually your triceps will start being able to hold yourself up. And eventually you may able to be able to move and do a good form push-up. And eventually you may be able to move and do two good form push-ups. And eventually, you know what? If you are consistent with it, you may be able to do three, and then four, and then five. And I'm using this as an example to tell you your faith don't start up with a great big event. Your faith starts with small steps, small challenges. And if we will be faithful in the little things, God will begin to increase the challenge so you can become more faithful. I once heard the great preacher T.D. Jakes say this: when you go to greater levels, there's always bigger devils. And this is what a lot of people don't understand, is going on the journey with God will always create more and more challenges. And if you don't depend on him, you will get tired. You will lay down and you will quit, because it takes his empowerment to keep going and keep moving. Because we do fight a battle against the spiritual principalities in the dark world, and we need God to be the head of our life and fight those battles with us and fight those battles for us. And I need you to know, they don't stop the moment you say, Jesus, you are the savior of my life. As a matter of fact, they will become more and more against you, because now you belong to God's army and you're trying to advance his purpose and his gospel into this world. And those things can come against you. And the challenges can oftentimes make you want to quit. But God says, I can use those challenges to build you so we can do greater things. We have to face the challenge. That's the first small step in seeing God do things. The next thing is this, and I talked about this a little bit last week, but we have to learn to listen and listen well. Listen and listen well. You know, a lot of prayer is not so much about you talking to God. A lot of prayer is about you listening to what God says in your heart. And again, make your request known before God. Pray to God. But then lend a careful ear and listen to the steps he's asking you to take. Because oftentimes God will whisper steps for you to take and you won't hear them because your focus is on the big thing you ask God to do. But God will be like, I can do that big thing, but are you listening to me say, take this step, let's move forward? God doesn't often always show up in a big storm, a big flash of lightning, and great thunder. God often shows up with a little still, small voice that's inviting you on a journey. And you have to listen to that all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere, gentle voice of God, because he's nudging us to go in the right direction. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2 about these wise men. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, we're asking a question, where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. See, they had been listening for years to the prophets of the old and what they had said about a king going to be born. And so they had been listening. So when that star arose, they were able to begin to take steps towards this ridiculous star in the sky because they believed that there was going to be a king born into the Jews. They had been listening. Mary listened. Look what it says. Luke chapter 1, verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called, pay close attention, the Son of the Most High. The Son of the Most High. You do know that there were, in this particular culture, there were other gods, and people worshiped those other gods. But God announces himself as the Most High of all gods. And he says, Mary, I'm going to have a son, and he's going to be the Son of the Most High, and you need to listen to what I'm saying. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign and rule Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be set apart and he will be called the Son of God. Wow.
Amen.
And so here Mary listens to the voice of God as he begins to speak about who this baby is going to be. Joseph listened. Matthew 1 verse 20 says this, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Shepherds listened. Leave your sheep, go see this baby, you know, in a manger. The angel says, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. The good news for the world is wrapped in a manger. See, oftentimes what God is calling us to in life is wrapped in unlikely packages. What God wants to birth through you and what God wants to birth through me oftentimes is unlikely to our common thinking. And we just sometimes are trained to think only in the way we see instead of what God has said in his word. And when we see what is in front of us and the circumstances and the challenge and our own abilities and all of these things that we face in life, sometimes we can't get outside of our own religious train of thought to see God do great and mighty, powerful things. And again, we should never go against his word. We should never do things contrary to his word. We always to make Jesus, the Son of the Most High, known to the nations. That is the call of the local church. But sometimes we have to get outside of our own thinking.
Amen, Pastor.
To see God do
yes.
Great and powerful things. I once was told early on in the birthing of this church, you want to reach people for Jesus, no one else is reaching. Do what no one else is willing to do. You ever thought about that? All congregations and all church followers sometimes set out to just reach a certain sect or a certain kind of people. And oftentimes they leave other people out of the good news because they just follow the lead of who went before them and do what somebody else was doing. But oftentimes we have to think outside of the box. And again, we're a church that serves the disenfranchised. We're the church that, you know, helps and does all we can to help the poor, you know, and those who are desolate. But whenever I first started in the local church, what I realized is there were some people that more or less they had stuff in this world, but the stuff had them. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And I realized that oftentimes the church didn't care about those people who had stuff because they thought those people had more than they had. And what God revealed to me is just because someone has stuff and the stuff has them, you know what? They are spiritually bankrupt and they need Jesus. Just like the person who doesn't have all these physical things in life. You want to reach people that no one else is reaching. You got to be willing to go after people and talk to people about Jesus that no one else is talking to. Come on, somebody. And oftentimes you have to speak in a different language than that they understand, that they grab hold of, you know? And you have to help them understand that we're here to build the kingdom and God can use you and God can use your resources and God can use all the mind he's given you. It's not just for you to selfishly absorb that. Well, why don't you step in and see what God can do and use you in a powerful way? Amen. And I think sometimes we have to be willing to listen to what God's calling us to do. A lot of people say, how do I listen to God? And the first thing is this, is to understand that there's 168 hours in a week. And so I'm asking again today, I asked it last week, how much of that 168 hours of time are you carving out to listen to God? Not just talk to God, not just you speak, but listen. When's the last time you sit on your porch, you and God, and you just listen to what he had to say? Just utter some words, God, what do you want to do through me? And then begin to listen. See, I think sometimes we'll utter those words, God, what do you want to do through me? And then we'll start telling God all he should do through us. And God may show us something else. Get along, listen a lot, read the word, hide the word in your heart, write it down. Don't just listen to it, write it down. Go back and revisit it. See what God said 10 years ago. See what God said 5 years ago. Write it down. And then possibly share it with someone you trust. This is what God's speaking to my heart. And then begin to see what God can do. Listen to God, and then, you know, begin to listen and listen well. But don't let it stop there. And this is where it gets real scary to see God do the great and big things. But I wrote it down this way. You need to make a move. See, because oftentimes God speaks and we don't make a move. Do you know how many times I've basically didn't move on what God spoke into my heart? And as I look back on that, I'm like, man, I should have made the move, but I was fearful. And what God shows me is oftentimes when I'm fearful to move by faith in the direction he's saying, it's simply because I was afraid to make a move. And because I was afraid to make a move, then the enemy come in and began to destroy the great work of God that he wanted to do in and through me. Don't be afraid to take steps towards God. All of these people in the Christmas story are simply amazing. And I just want to hit this one hard today. The Bible says this, that Joseph, remember, God was asking him to do something ridiculous. But the Bible says when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord said, commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. In other words, Joseph said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to risk my own reputation, God. And I'm going to take on your reputation of what you say. In other words, I'm going to risk taken Mary to be my wife, though she's not pregnant by me, but you said she's pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be the earthly father of baby Jesus. And I know the repercussions of all of that. People are going to think I'm crazy. Why am I taking this woman to be my wife? They're going to think all this kind of stuff, but I'm willing to risk my reputation for your reputation because I believe the calling on my life to represent you is greater than what I'm currently feeling. And Joseph made a move. He woke up, took Mary as his wife. I wonder what God's asking you this Christmas season to take hold of. To take hold of. To advance the good news of Christ. Because always this was about advancing Jesus and the name of Jesus and the name of God in this world. Let's go back to Father Abraham. Father Abraham, he took a step of faith. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham had no wife. He had no family. And he says to Abraham, here's what you need to do. Go to the land I will show you. God didn't show him the land first. God says, Abram, take a step of faith, make a move, listen to what I am saying and go to this land and see what I can do. How ridiculous was it for Abram to leave his family, his country, his native land to do what God said do? He said, I'm going to show you something. And Abraham had the faith to step towards him. The Bible says he's rewarded because of his faith. See, we're going to be rewarded because of our faith in what God's already shown. He showed the world, for God so loved the world. He gave his one and only son on a cross. Whoever believes in him shall not waste away, shall not perish, but have eternal life. We can have faith to step towards who God is and what he said his son was here to do. And he even proved it because he resurrected from a grave. Scientifically, all of that stuff is proven and the grave's empty. It's never been found. But see, it's not about the scientific evidence. It's not about all of those things. It is really about your heart having faith that it was God in the flesh and you were a person that was lost in your sin and you needed a savior to step into your life. And do you have the faith to believe that he is who he says he is, and you trust him with a mustard seed size faith, and you step into it and you go to where God is showing you, and then you'll begin to see what God can do. It's small steps. Some of you want to get over the addiction. Some of you want to get past the abuse. Some of you want to move forward in the broken relationship. Some of you don't feel like this Christmas can be anything because you may not have a lot of material things to give anybody. I'm asking you this question. Have you talked to God about the situation? Have you paused long enough to listen to what he's saying? And are you willing to step towards his goodness in spite of the circumstances? And God will begin to unveil and unveil and unveil more and more of his plan. And my friend, he will give you more and more joy as you go on this journey. But it starts with the small steps of faith. And then begin to watch God do big things in your life. What I think God is asking me to ask us is every single one of us have a small step to take. What is yours? Because I just begin to think about what if we all took the small step that he was asking. Each one of us, how big of a step would that be for the local church? in the community. Look around. Think of all these people taking one small step of faith. How big of an impact that could have on humanity for eternity if we were all willing to listen and take that step that God's asking us to take. Consider that this Christmas season, and let's see what God can do. Let me pray for you. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for hope. I thank you for Jesus. God, I thank you for the manger. I thank you for all these events that we're doing. Candyland Christmas, Giving Hope, all the services that we're doing. But God, our prayer this Christmas season is that every person that steps into our environments would be willing to take one more step towards you to see who you are. God, no matter how far away they may be, maybe they just met you, maybe they've never considered you, maybe they've known you for 2 or 3 years. God, our prayer is that everyone would just take one more step towards your goodness and see what you can do. God, I know there's many physical things going on in our world, but you called us to be a people who live by faith in Jesus as the Son of the Most High God. And to believe that he came to this earth, he gave his life, he resurrected from a grave so that humanity could step away from sin and move more towards an eternity with you. God, I pray if there's a person here today that hasn't stepped towards you by faith, that God, maybe be the day that you draw them towards yourself and God, you step into their life. And my friend, the way that God begins to step into your life and begin to give you destiny and purpose is simply you surrender. You say, God, I'm tired of doing it my way and I'm ready to accept your way. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him coming into the world, forgiving me of my sin. God, I open my heart to him today. I need him to be my Lord. I need him to be my Savior. And I need to receive the resurrection of Christ in my life and believe you for greater things. My friend, if you said that prayer, just say thank you, God, for Jesus. And then begin to take steps of faith, listening to God, and let's see what he can do. He's an amazing God. He's a God that won't always call you to the next big thing, but he'll call you into the next small thing. And if you'll keep taking the small steps, you'll begin to see the big things happen in your life. And so God, I pray today we would be that kind of church, the church that walks by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.